Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's playoff time even here in Phoenix, and that means big stakes and bigger promotions. Every day of basketball playoffs, DraftKings will have $20,000 in total prizes up for grabs. Yeah, you heard that right. 20 G's, baby. The best part, it's free to get your shot at these daily cash prizes. DraftKings will be offering two free to play pools every day of the NBA playoffs, offering players a free shot at 20 G's in total prizes. DraftKings free-to-play pools are easy to enter. Just download the DraftKings app, go to the pools, and choose from a wide variety of free contests for an opportunity to win cash and prizes. All you have to do is answer a handful of questions around what you think is going to happen during that day's basketball games and track your results throughout the day. Questions will range from which team will hit the most threes to which team will score first. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. It is the fans' best friend when it comes to daily fantasy sports. Download the top-rated DraftKings app now and use promo code TBPN. That's promo code TBPN when you sign up to get your free shot at $20,000 in total prizes every day of the basketball playoffs. Head to DraftKings pools pages to get your shot at huge cash prizes. That's promo code TBPN for limited time only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for full details.
What's up, Phoenix? It's your man Zanzo. You know what time it is. Playoffs, baby. We got the LA Fake Show coming to town. Don't care what the media says. Don't care what the internet says. All I care about is getting that W. So you know we got this new track. It's called BLA. Never forget, this is how we do in AZ. BLA, let me hear you say. BLA, let me hear you say. BLA, let me hear you say. BLA.
Game three of the Western Conference first round. Suns travel to the Staples Center, to LA, have their first road playoff game in nearly 11 years, and it looked like it. The Suns were defeated pretty handily by the Lakers by a final score of 109-95. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Suns jam session slash Sun Solar Panel, a solar jam session, if you will. I'm going to bring everybody into the party. Welcome aboard. Suns lose, guys.
We're calling this a party? I thought this was a group therapy session.
I think it's more of a, it's going to be a bitch session.
Okay. Well, that works too.
Throwing it out there. So
good.
Hey, how's everyone doing?
Yeah, but about as well as the Suns offense. Not great there, Matt.
Oh, are you going to miss every shot you take tonight, Espo?
Oh, I did in college and high school, so why would I stop now? I did bring the hot blonde, though, so we're good.
Yes. Okay, we have a hot blonde once again in the background. It's a tradition here on the solar jam session or the solar bitch session that we're going to have tonight. But welcome everybody who is joining us, whether you're watching along live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter. We do appreciate that you're taking the time out to join us after that devastating loss by the Phoenix Suns in Game 3. My name is John, a.k.a. at Darth Voida. I'm joined by Matthew Lissy, Greg Esposito.
God, insult to injury like tonight.
Greg King. Greg King and Saul, I'm an Idaho Bookman. See, this is why you got to do the intros of the people, Dave, or Espo. You're so much better at this.
Stop confusing me and Dave.
It's the beard, man.
Do it one more time and I'm out.
Hey, if anybody should be confused for Dave, I think outside of the skin color, it should be me because I have the gray beard just like he does.
Yeah, I still have some. I got plenty. I have no grays in here.
What are you talking about?
I'm black, you're white, Dave. That's the only confusion there should be. I don't, there's no confusion about that. That's just a legit fact.
It's science. Well, on that note, I'm going to welcome everybody and remind everybody.
Yeah, that's true.
That if you are,
is science.
If this is correct. If you are watching on YouTube, please smash the like button while you're here. You can become an elite jamster or a flaming baller simply by clicking the join button or following the link in the description. Feel free to donate to the show via the super chat to help me with or to get both Dave and Saul a little bit of that Just for Men in the beard. It'll help greatly so they can have beautiful beards like I have, as well as working on, and whatever Matthew's got going on.
Natural.
Let's turn this into a competition tonight. Let's see who can get the highest super chats tonight.
All right, game on.
Yeah.
Jamsters, if you're
whatever
watching,
that means, I'm all for it, dude.
Jamsters, if you're watching on that YouTube channel, donate there. Flaming Ballers, if you're on our channel, donate there. Let's see who can get the highest amount of super chats tonight, because why the hell not? There's not a lot else positive going on.
And whoever wins gets to keep that blonde behind you.
Yes.
Hey, for all the people who are just joining the show for the first time ever, what in the hell is a super chat?
Yeah.
Super chat's that little money button that you have in the chat on YouTube that you can donate to the show so we can utilize it to buy cool things like merchandise and stickers to hand out to our jamsters and our flaming ballers when we go for our live podcast shows like the one that we'll be doing this upcoming Sunday.
Yeah, is that a good enough answer? Last one maybe for the season.
Hopefully not.
God. It was a good run.
Oh, Lord.
Ouch. Well, I'm gonna hit the intro real quick, but is anybody drinking a beer? Or am I going to be drinking alone?
Where are you doing this from, Saul? Is this like a resort or something like that?
Crack them if you got them, gentlemen.
I'm in the middle of nowhere, Idaho.
That's right.
Lissy, are you going to use the Invisalign to pop that bad boy open?
Yeah.
Just take it out and crack it.
Thanks for reminding me I have them in. I forgot they're in there.
And I've got the Joy Bus Wow Wheat from Four Peaks Brewing. I'm going to be popping open tonight. So, Jamsters, Flaming Ballers, if you're in the chat, drink them if you got them.
I've got the patented cup with the plastic around it. Is that cool?
I'm drinking the tears of Suns fans this evening.
Crack them. Let's talk about this Suns loss to the Los Angeles Lakers. Cheers. Ooh. The Phoenix Suns go to Los Angeles and just play really, really poorly, unfortunately. And I think there's going to be plenty that we're going to talk about on this podcast. Real quick, a shout out to Tree Nugs. Suns break my heart, but the Suns jam session breaks my bank account. And we got Bailey Lyons, $25. Depression. Donating to depression right here. So
whose account was the $25 to? Was that yours?
That was us, baby. That was us.
You? How do you tell the difference?
It's
the
red.
Color.
We're in the we're lead, boys.
Okay. Sun panels.
Should have used
that
on a
5x5.
That cures depression.
Like the Suns are down by 20. Here we go.
That gives me depression. So who wants to go first? Where should we start? Let's Saul. All right. He's coming to us from Idaho, one of the most beautiful states in the nation, I think. I don't know. I don't know what's there. But
is it Oregon or Idaho?
I have no idea.
Idaho. He's in Idaho.
Okay.
Oh, we're going to do the
Unleash.
So let it go.
Okay. A couple things. First of all, Chris Paul just needs to stop playing, period. He's no help to the team. He was minus 20 tonight. He's clearly not effective when he's on the floor. Get him out. Like, until he's 100% healthy, get him out. Because if the mid-range isn't there on a consistent basis, then he really does nothing for this team, because the Lakers have proven that they could just sag off of him and put a hand up, and he's not going to make those shots. It looked like maybe he was going to get things going a little bit at the beginning of the game. It was just much more of the same. He's clearly not effective. Get him out. Second thing, Mikal Bridges. yes, he's gone MIA, but I also largely blame that on a little bit on Monty, because I feel like he should have put him in a position in game two to play a little bit more, especially when you got my man Jay Crowder going 0 for everything or 1 for 900,000. Like, dude, what is the benefit? Yes, he's a little bit more physical and a little bit bigger body to play against LeBron James. I get that. But there's been times when Jay Crowder has been in the game and LeBron has been on the bench and there's no need for it. There's absolutely no need for it. Like, listen, by all accounts, we might lose this series or we will lose the series, whichever way you want to look at it. What's the point of playing Jay Crowder at key points of time when they're down by 15 to 20 and they're not making a run?
You can't play the kids for the future in your freaking playoff series when you're tied 1-1 and you're just now
when you're
going
down by
15 2-1.
And you got no shot in the third and fourth quarter. Yeah, you can.
You're not playing for the future at that point.
No, you should have played Torrey Craig. That's the guy you should have turned to earlier. I mean, he's the guy that can play the defense, can shoot the three. He's basically what you're hoping to get from Crowder at a slightly less talented level, but Crowder has been terrible. I blame a lot of this game on Monty Williams and the lack of adjustments, right? If you have nothing, why don't you go deeper into that bench? We talk about the depth, right? Where's Langston Galloway? Bring in an irrational confidence guy who's proven he can drop 7-9 points in 2 minutes because he gets hot, and try it. Because you had nothing to lose tonight, and you didn't try anything to really resuscitate this offense.
But this team,
We talked about before the series started. I said, don't let you should be the ones that are inflicting the tempo and the pace to the Lakers, not the other way around. And part
impose
of that
your will.
Is impose your will. Thank you. And part of that is you use your depth and your bench like nobody else in the league. And then we get to the playoffs and you think that just because the norm is to shrink your bench, that you have to do it too. And it's absolutely come back to bite the Suns in the butt, especially considering the fact what is going on with Chris Paul. Absolutely.
Well, they shouldn't have played Chris Paul. And that's what you said, Saul. It's just, and that's right. I mean, Jesus, this is Monty's trust in his people. His faith in his people is really, really being tested. I mean, my God, you can't play Chris Paul so many minutes, and you cannot keep playing Jay Crowder so many minutes. You've got to put like a Torrey Craig in there. You've got to put I question the Langston Galloway. I love the guy personally, great guy and all that, but the Duke would get shredded on defense against this.
Yeah,
Laker
but
team.
It didn't matter.
Everybody
was getting shredded
on defense.
Yeah, everybody was.
No, during the third quarter. Wait, hold on.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Can I say something? All right. During the third quarter.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Dave.
Go ahead, guys.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. During the third quarter.
Sorry.
During the third quarter, the Suns got shredded on defense. But during the first two quarters, they were playing really hard on defense. The Lakers only had the 43 points at half. If you put Langston Galloway in there early, like we were looking for substitutions at that time, Galloway wouldn't have you can't guarantee just because he made shots on one end or put up shots on one end that he was going to be a positive for the game. I'm not, but Torrey Craig has proved himself all year, and he's been in the playoffs, successfully played in the playoffs in prior years. I don't understand the Torrey Craig stuff. And then Frank and Dario, I know, Espo, you put a tweet out there a little while ago, and are you guys still happy the Suns didn't make a move? I don't know that anyone really didn't want the Suns to make a move. I think people just were accepting, they can still win if they don't make a move. They can still do this if they don't make a move. I don't think any of us, certainly not on this show, wanted them not to add another big man.
But there were some people that were happy. Let's talk about this, though, okay? So in game two, yes, I acknowledge that, yeah, they could have used a big, or they could have used somebody that was a little bit more physical down low. In this game, that wasn't the problem. It was offense that was completely the problem. They couldn't score for anything. Well, Devin Booker went MIA completely in this game.
We'll get to Devin Booker in a second, but that wasn't the only thing. I'll go back to what you said, Saul. It was the coaching by Monty. Which team came out of halftime looking prepared to make an adjustment? You know, there's the adjustment from game two to game three that the Sun and the Suns held their own. You know, DeAndre Ayton was playing out of his mind again. Jay Crowder Although he wasn't playing fantastic offense in any way, shape, or form, was still bodying up LeBron and forcing him to the outside. Both teams went on an 0-for-0 run for like 5 minutes in the second quarter. It was ridiculous. But Frank Vogel went into halftime and made an adjustment. He goes, listen, attack, attack, attack. Stop letting them, allowing the Suns to force you to the outside. Whereas the Suns were okay and content with just taking jumpers and threes. And late in the shot clock, you know, it's almost like we're watching the Suns of the first 16 games when they were 8-8, where they would dribble, 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 wait until there was 6 seconds left in the shot clock, initiate offense. If the first and only look wasn't there, it's a kick out to three and a bad three-pointer. And you were seeing, and that's when the gap occurred in this game, is when the Suns didn't enact a game plan coming out of the half, and the Lakers did. And ultimately, the Suns couldn't recover from that because of the smothering defense of the Lakers and their ability to continuously get inside. And you have to have the ability to shoot your way out of that. And Campaign tried at the very end. You know, Torrey Craig, great, you know, he tried at the very end, but it was too little too late. And then you had Devin Booker stomping around like the three-year-old that we were afraid that he was going to end up being. Right, Matthew?
Yeah, you know what? The adjustment you're talking about, it's just LeBron James. Hey, LeBron, start playing ball. That's what he did in the second half. The first half, it was basically like the Suns had opportunities to really go on runs. I mean, they did. Of course, Lakers defense long, whatever you want to say, but the Lakers offense was terrible. To turn the ball over, LeBron wasn't doing anything. That was an opportunity in the second quarter really to go up. I know it's just the second quarter, but to get like a 10-point lead or something to give you some momentum going to second half, because when you're just up by like when you're down by the 4 points, you know LeBron's going to come out. All of a sudden, he's going to start playing better. That's just LeBron. He has them where he wants them. And that's why he came out in the third quarter and did what he did. And he got a little too comfortable too. Like he doesn't act like he's been there before. He really doesn't on the court when he starts to get it going. And it's annoying to watch. That's why I love seeing Jay Crowder on him, to try to get into his head a little bit as much as he can. But when you're tied up at the half, dude, the game's over. If you're playing that Lakers team, they're playing god awful, and you're still not even in the lead, it's going to be over because LeBron's going to turn it on.
But it's funny that you're saying that. You're talking about Jay Crowder being in LeBron's head, or at least trying to attempt to get in
towards the end. Yeah.
And look at the end of the game. Who is in whose head? The Lakers are living rent-free in the Suns' head right now. Absolutely. Devin Booker gets teed up, Jay Crowder. Like, it's just ridiculous. And they're showing no composure whatsoever. And the Lakers know it. The Lakers know it. Like, the last 3 minutes of this game, I thought, okay, well, you know, I hate moral victories. You all know that. I even texted that, like, F a moral victory. However, like, at least you could take a few things away from it and move on to the next game. But the way that game ended, It just you're feeding the beast. You're absolutely feeding the beast. You're letting LeBron and AD know, yeah, we got him. And that's not a good sign.
Exactly.
John, you brought up an interesting point. You said this feels like the team from those first 16 games where the team went 8-8. And those were the first games where they were trying to get to know Chris Paul, trying to feel that out. Chris Paul wasn't the guy that he became later in the year, which to me says a lot of this has to do with Chris Paul, right? They are, I feel like they were waiting for him to do what he had done in that later part of the season, and they can't do that right now. Monty didn't have a short enough leash with Chris Paul. I get playing him. You got to see, does he have it, right? And he came out and he hit a few shots in the first, but as it started to become clear that he wasn't the Chris Paul of old, the adjustment should have been made then, right? If this is a chess match, which I feel like a 7-game series winds up being with coaches, you've got to make adjustments, you got to shift. Monty didn't do it enough going into this game and, as you pointed out, going into the second half. Obviously, not having your guy who was an MVP candidate is going to have a negative impact on this team. But you have to figure out how to mitigate that. And I just don't feel like they did enough to do that. And to Saul's point, Devin Booker didn't show up tonight. The only guy that showed up tonight, on every minute he was in there, was DeAndre Ayton. That's it. Nobody else showed up. And you're not going to beat LeBron and AD, even if they're not at full strength, if only one guy shows up.
That's what we talked about last pod too, is can Booker take over for Chris Paul, or is it going to be Campaign? Because I think Booker needed to, but he didn't, obviously.
You know, I think there's 2 points to make here. I was telling Darth Voida the other day. I was sitting courtside and I saw Chris Paul taking warmups, and he got to the 3-point line right in front of me, and I saw him take a shot from the 3-point line. It was his first long distance shot, and this is in the middle of the warm. There's like 3 minutes left to go before we start the game, and he airballed that thing by 6 feet. And I was like, oh, shit, this is not a good sign. And he proceeded to have a very bad game and didn't play very well. You could tell he was favoring it, right? I over the last day, I thought, there's no way he's going to play in this game. There's just no way. There's just no way. And sure enough, he comes back out and he plays. And at some point, Monty, you got to be the coach. And I know that CP3 is telling you, like, I've been in this situation. I know what I'm doing. I'm a vet. And you want to give him all the rope in the world. But at some point, you got to be the coach and be like, no, that's not in the best interest of the team. Campaign is the better option right now. You got to go with that option. And we keep talking about Langston Galloway. But Javon Carter deserves a shot, too.
Or Etwan Moore.
Etwan Moore, yeah.
Well, I mean, Javon Carter has proven he can defend and shoot the three, mm-hmm. which you're sorely missing right now at that position. So, you know, and then the other thing I was going to say is, you know, I said at the beginning of the season is that if DeAndre Ayton averaged 25 and 10 or 25 and 15, then this team would be the number one seed in the West. I said that. Go back and look at it. Now, that didn't happen this year. But what you're seeing right now is the fruits of that lack of labor, okay? The fact that you didn't make DeAndre a focal point on the offensive side of the ball is coming back to hurt you right now, because Devin Booker is you know, in the fourth quarter last game and in this game, he looks tired. He looks a little bit out of sync for whatever reason. And now CP3 is gone. What other option do you have? Mikal Bridges isn't playing well. DA has been the lone bright spot in all three games for this team. And if you would have fed him and did a little bit more with him earlier on in the season to develop him as we go along to this point, maybe we got a little bit of a different situation. And maybe the focal point wouldn't always be on Devin Booker. They would have to account for DA a little bit more than they already are. Vogel has already said, like, they have to focus more on DA. It's already happening. And if you just did it a little bit more in the season, I just think they would place more of an emphasis to free other guys up a little bit more.
Well, right now, I don't think it matters, though. I mean, they've gone to DA. He makes the right passes. Guys can't hit shots, even when the defense collapses on him. And that's the problem. When this team turns the ball over and can't hit three-pointers, it's when they lose. What have they done the last two games? Turn the ball over, can't hit three-pointers. They've lost two games in a row. I mean, that's just – this team will not succeed if they're not hitting those three-pointers and if you're not getting offensive output from Mikal and Cam. I've said this all year. As those two guys go, this Suns team will go. And the last two games have proven that true. They need at least one of those two guys to find their stroke to help this team out in game four. Because a lot of doom and gloom so far in this show, but it's still only 2-1 Lakers, right? You get a win in LA, you've got home court back.
But it doesn't feel like that, right? It doesn't feel like that, especially in this game.
No, not after getting your ass kicked up and down the floor.
But in a game that you felt like you could have taken if you just played a little bit better, right?
Well, that's game two. That's game two.
Same way, yeah.
Yeah, but game last two. Game, the Lakers were leading basically the entire game until campaign went crazy. And then, obviously, they fell apart again in the last 4 minutes of the game.
That's the problem with the Suns right now is we're a ship without a rudder. Yeah. CP3's been that rudder all season long. And I agree with you both when you talk about Monty Williams probably should have given him rest. I mentioned on the last podcast, I think that they should give him some rest because knowing he would have 5 extra days on top of the two extra days coming into this game or the day and a half. And he would have had a better opportunity to be healthy. And he did come out and he did look like he was more engaged and he was dribbling with his right hand and he was making some shots. But then he was also getting physical. You know, the problem that Chris Paul has with himself is he can't get out of his own way. We've known that all season long. When there's been opportunities to rest Chris Paul, when there's a back-to-back against a shitty team, he played. And those were the things that we would comment on throughout the season and be like, you know, Chris Paul's just being Chris Paul right now. And we love and respect it. But, you know, kind of to your point, Monty Williams has to be the coach here. He's got to temper that. Chris Paul can say, listen, I know my body. Yeah, but you don't know your 35-year-old body. You don't know your body in this iteration of your career and how it's going to respond to an injury that you haven't had before. I've never seen him have a stinger before. So you take all that into account, knowing that this team has been playing, it was like had an opportunity to almost win the last game without CP3. There's a competitive mental edge that you have coming to this game if you're competitive and CP3 isn't a part of this roster. He was a part of this roster tonight. The Suns end up getting their ass kicked. We didn't get an opportunity to see any Javon Carter minutes, Langston Galloway minutes, Etuan Moore minutes, which again could be another, you know, now you play those guys for 15, 20 minutes behind Campaign who would, you know, start in this scenario. I don't care if you even start Etuan Moore like they did a game earlier in the season when CP3 sat out. I think it was against the Cleveland Cavaliers on a back-to-back. If you start him, and then you have Javon coming in and Campaign coming in and Langston Galloway, it gives the Lakers more to have to game plan against. Because Monty's going to this traditional rotation thing, and bless him for taking out Dario Saric and saving us from watching that wreck this game. You know, He's going to that traditional lineup set, and it's not what has made this team successful all year long.
Look, Monty right now is a doctor that's watching his patient flatline and not getting the paddles out. You need to do something to jumpstart it, right? And he didn't, and I get it. He has trust in his guys. He wanted to believe in them, but at some point, you just have to go, this isn't working. How do we make this work? What can we change to do something? Because right now, the only thing on the other side of hard is the off season at this point.
Well, you know? I will say this, you know, for a lot of talk about us mentioning who does not have playoff experience like Mikal Bridges and DeAndre Ayton, Monty Williams is definitely showing the lack of experience right now in the playoffs as a head coach in making the proper adjustments on basically a quarter-to-quarter, half-to-half basis. And that's something I did not see coming because I thought he learned I thought he learned in New Orleans and also, you know, in Philadelphia. And apparently there's still more to learn.
And it's too early in the pod, but for the next game, do you expect Chris Paul to even play? I mean, the way you guys are sounding is like, should we even start Chris
Paul? At
this
point, you have to now.
I know you have to. But like, this game is the one game where everyone was asking, like, should he start or no? And it's like, yes, he has.
I don't think he should.
You don't think he should?
Possibility of going down 3-1 to the Los Angeles Lakers?
Then so be it, dude.
Is he really like the – I know he's been playing terrible, but like there's other players too.
If he's at 50% in game four, that's not going to make a damn bit of difference either. You might as well sit and hope that he's going to be 75% at least when he comes back for game five and hope that you can bring it home without him in game four.
CP3 isn't why Booker missed shots. He isn't why Jay Crowder.
There's a lot of blame.
But CP3 was a minus 20 in the plus minus tonight. That there's a reason for that. He didn't play well.
No.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. Not. I dropped off just to listen to what
I thought. I made you too mad. Sorry.
No. I put a note in the chat.
Yeah. He went to go see.
I know. I'm kidding.
Yeah. No, it's all good. Sorry. I was maybe a little bit frazzled after that game.
Did he have anything to say?
Yeah. Well, he gave a lot of Monty-isms. Ramona Shelburne got from ESPN got on there and said, oh man, it's such a cruel world. How is CP handling all this cruelty in his life for getting injured in these playoffs? And Monty's like, I'm the last person you need to be saying that this is a cruel world too. Yeah. Chris Paul is an adult. He knows that he didn't use the word adult, but Chris Paul's got a lot of good things. He's got a wife and kids and all this money. He's a Hall of Fame career. He's going to be fine. So let's not talk about how cruel it is. It's just a game. And that did kind of actually bring it home for me a little bit. I've been really frustrated since all the way through the game, actually. But they really are just down 2-1. They have been resilient. He did not give an answer as to how they came out so flat after the halftime, but he did say it was incredibly bad how they came back after half, giving up 66 points in the second half. It's just something this team just doesn't do. And he admitted that the Lakers' physicality got under their skin. But, you know, you guys were talking about Booker when I just got back on here. what was really happening is the Lakers were double teaming Booker with abandon and leaving Chris Paul completely wide open because he knew he was one armed. There was nobody guarding Chris Paul in this game. It's like worse than Ricky Rubio, because Rubio could at least pop up a three on a catch and shoot. You know, this is awful. And so that's why Chris Paul was a minus 20 and the Suns were scored 40 points in the first half. Obviously they also missed shots, and Jay Crowder is good Lord. I mean, he's going to go 8 for 10 in the next game. God, I hope so, because that guy is the most hot and cold guy I think I've ever seen on a basketball court. And this is about the coldest spell I've seen. It's just crazy. But really the big story of the game, I think, is that Chris Paul was being completely left by the Lakers and ignored and disrespected. And the only time he did anything positive was when he ran himself into another player and then fell to the ground.
Dave, do you think he should play in game four?
I think unless he he should not have played tonight.
Hold on real quick.
Fuck. Booker is now going to the podium. I got to hear what Booker has to say.
Go ahead.
All right, you go away.
Look, let me say
real quick. I got to drop this real quick.
Watch 2021.
Dave came back with such positivity that I thought we should talk about the positive aspect of this game. And you know, Saul, you mentioned it a little bit. Espo, you mentioned it a little bit as well. You know, DeAndre Ayton's performance thus far through the playoffs has been nothing short of amazing. You know, we had a group text going beforehand, and you know, Saul, you did bring up the point that he was negative 14 because he spent all the time on the court with Chris Paul. So when you look at those plus minus numbers and you see DA is a negative 14, don't get fooled by the fact that you know, DA spent a lot of time with Chris Paul. But how ironic is it that the narrative for the Phoenix Suns, a guard-centric team that sent two guards to the All-Star game, now our offense probably has to rely on DeAndre Ayton, and he's delivering 22 and 11, 11 for 15 from the field, two blocks, a steal. I mean, he is he's playing fantastic. There you go, Suns fans. There you go. Everybody who wanted a bag on DA because he wasn't as physical as you want him to be, as he wasn't dunking the ball, and he was super efficient all year long. They never ran the offense through him. Now you're seeing the difference between when DA takes 8 shots and DA takes 15 shots. He makes more points because he's efficient. So kudos to DA and his performance, not only tonight, but for the first three games. What do you go, 22? I mean, he's just consistent all year long, just kind of consistent. Consistently inconsistent catching the ball maybe, but he's putting the points up right now. I think it's time that we give him a little love.
Well, he's answered the bell. I mean, everybody thought he was the guy you knew least of what you were going to get, and he's the guy that has brought it every night. And sure, maybe some of the Lakers' strategy was to try to drive the ball his way and see if he could handle it. Well, guess what? He's handled it. It's other guys that haven't. And, you know, I applaud him for it, because there's been so many people that have questioned everything about him over the last few seasons. And this guy takes it in stride, and it's come out when the lights are brightest, and it's showing he is the kind of big man that is a key to the future of this team, both defensively and offensively. And that's without a lot of help from the power forward spot. He's having to do everything with this big lineup against the Lakers on both ends of the floor.
I wholeheartedly agree. For as much DA bashing as there has been this season, and even there was even a certain point where he had, you know, like a 2 or 3 week drought. And I was like, DA, what are you doing right now? What he has done in these playoffs has shown you that he has that ability to be a focal point on both ends of the floor. And that's what you were hoping that you were going to get when you drafted him. And again, he's 22. He's about to be 23. He's still developing. And these playoffs, I think, are doing nothing more than instilling even more confidence in him and proving to him that he has what it takes to play at this level and play against the very best and dominate from time to time. And so that's the bonus. That's the biggest takeaway that I will take away from this series if the Suns win or lose, is that DA came to play and he showed everybody that he can be reliable when you need him the most. But, man – I'm just going to stop right there because that's a positive note.
There you go.
We didn't.
What are you got, Matthew?
No, and then also Gambo's sources, he was talking about how I think Frank Vogel wanted to actually let him have the ball more on offense, you know, not pay too much attention to him, leave him there. And it seemed like that in the first two games, a lot of the stuff was easy. But my favorite thing about Ayton is he knows exactly what to do on the court now, especially in the playoffs. When his attention to detail is high in the playoffs, he is fantastic. Dude, the best actual play tonight was when Chris Paul was in the game, when pissed off Paul was in the game. That was actually pretty fun to watch in the beginning of the game, was with Chris Paul when he was actually giving it to the refs. He slapped one of them away, I think, when they was touching him. I don't know if you guys saw that, but that was fantastic. But the play after that, when he brought it down the court, had his butt into the defender, and he knew DA like had to run to the hoop, and he did. Like, he actually ran to the hoop as fast as he could, and like, he didn't get himself into position as to get the ball and like make a play, but it opened up a lot from the offense. I think him just knowing what to do out there is really great. Even if the Lakers are kind of letting him do what he wants to do sometimes, not paying, you know, kind of locked down on the 3-point shooters, that's fine. But DA to capitalize on that is fantastic, because that's the one thing that Mikal Bridges really isn't doing right now. I think Mikal, defensively, yeah, you're putting up with LeBron. Yeah, it sucks a lot, but there's a lot of times in the paint to tonight. There was two times where he was in the paint. He had a great look at the rim and he didn't take the jump shot. So just stuff like that, where you see DA kind of bring that over into the playoffs, where he is actually, he's doing a decent job, and that's what you want from him, man. I think he's doing a great job.
It's fun to watch him, man.
Yeah, Tuesday night, Saul and I didn't get a chance to be on here, but he had one of the best moves I've ever seen a big man make, when he had Gasol on him, yeah, and the up little, and under.
Yeah, the Dr. J. Kinda.
Yes, he Dr. J'd it. And just for the record, Saul was on the podcast. He was like coming to us from like a parking lot. He's like, hey, what's up, guy? And then he was gone. And it sounded like he had no voice, because I assume he was screaming his ass off.
I think I was about to get raped in a garage. So I was like,
Dario Saric was around the corner smoking a cigar.
That would have been great footage.
I did not play well.
Yeah.
All right. Do you guys think it's time that we rip Devin Booker so we can have a good Booker rep session, and then Dave will come back and tell us what Devin Booker, the very vanilla answers that he gave.
All the negativity is not let out yet. I feel like,
we haven't even begun.
Devin Booker has the phrase "be legendary" tattooed on him, right?
Yeah, written, he was legendary tonight. Written by
Kobe Bryant, in Kobe Bryant's handwriting. This guy played great in the first two games, so I'm not going to take that away from him. But he's
not the first two games, but go ahead. Okay.
The first game, yes.
The first game, yeah. He played great. Had 30 in the second game.
Because of 10 garbage free throws at the end.
This is true. Yes. But tonight, he had the opportunity to prove that he's at that level. You talk about, well, they were double-teaming him because of Chris Paul. Sure. Great players get double-teamed. Great players figure out how to work around that, get their other teammates involved, hit their shots. They figure it out. They figure out a way to get guys in foul trouble because they're getting pressured like that. Devin Booker didn't step up tonight. He didn't do that, and he has to. This team has absolutely no chance if Devin Booker is pedestrian, especially with Chris Paul like that.
I totally agree with you, Espo, and I can't help but think of that stupid, stupid, stupid open gym video about him complaining to Joakim Noah about getting double teamed. He's like, hey, man, we're not doing that. And I remember a clip from Kobe talking about getting, you know, the same thing. Actually, they showed him the Devin Booker clip. He's like, I hope they send three at me. I don't give a shit. And that's where I'm like, I can't get that out of my head. I can't get that out of my head. And I want Booker to be legendary. We all do. But, bruh, like, you can't disappear like this in the playoffs. There's just no room for that. And when your team is struggling in the second quarter to score and get any points whatsoever, like, you got to find that Kobe. You got to find that MJ inside you and be that dog and make it happen for your team. You have to. And he didn't do it tonight. There's a part of me that feels like Devin's a little tired. He looks a little worn down. But at the same time, so is everybody else outside of LeBron and AD. You know what I mean?
So you say be legendary, right? His idol, Kobe Bryant. Where was he tonight?
In the house Kobe built.
In the house that Kobe Bryant built. This was an opportunity, knowing that you have a hampered all-star next to you, to step up with the national lights upon you. You got the, you know, everybody's talking about Devin Booker, 30 points a game in the bubble against teams that didn't give a shit because they were actually going to the playoffs. You know, respect. He made those shots. He did play well. But you look at how he played tonight. His final stat line for this evening, 6-for-19 from the field, 19 points, 6-for-7 from the free throw line. Again, some of those come into garbage time. 1-for-4 from the three. His only one was like the hardest one he took all night. He had some wide open ones, just like all the rest of the Suns, and missed those. 4 turnovers, another turnover in the last 5 minutes. I mean, it's like a Devin Booker-ism at this point. Like, it's 5 minutes. Okay, one possession. I got to get it to the other team. You know, and it's just, you had this opportunity to be legendary, Devin Booker. And I get it. First playoffs, young guy trying to navigate and understand what a really good defense is throwing at him. You know, unfortunately for Devin Booker, the first round of playoff action he's ever had the opportunity to play against is the defending NBA champions. That's the number one team that's long, has length, has size, has all these things going against him. So you have to understand that it's not like Luka last year. I forget who they played in the first round. Well, they're playing the Clippers right now and he's toasting them. Fuck LA teams. But Devin Booker has this opportunity to step up, and he was trash tonight. I saw in the text before the game, you must have said trash about Devin Booker like 6 times, and you went from trash to trash on all caps to trash, because that's what he was tonight.
Who was that?
He got ejected. he got a stupid Devin Booker technical emotional foul. He got ejected from this game. Like, Devin Armani Booker, you're better than that, man. We need you to be better than that.
That's why it takes time, though, John. I mean, we can't really trash him in this game, I don't think. I mean, if it gets to the point where it's a Paul George kind of player, which Devin Booker is not going to be that way.
Devin Booker was only the fifth player in history to have 30 points in consecutive.
He'll be okay.
Playoff games.
I'm not too upset. Yeah, I threw my hat, my toupee at the ball a couple times, but I'm not that upset anymore.
Like, I totally get that. That stat is cool and everything, but again, like, at the end of the game too, he got tons of free throws when the game didn't matter. It's like, okay,
10 free points for him. 10 free.
Take the stat out.
Wait,
take the stat out. He was still one of their best two players.
When there was 3:43 left to go in the game and the game was tied, where did Devin Booker go? Nowhere. Nothing happened. He didn't do anything.
He threw the ball away. He had a turnover when the game was tied in game 2. You know, a key possession.
Well,
everybody threw the ball away tonight.
No,
we're talking about game 2.
Yeah.
Look,
when you get
a chance to vent about
it. All right, Dave, welcome back. Did you hear Devin Booker's press conference? Give us highlights. What do you got from
what was he wearing?
Press row.
He actually sounded.
What was he wearing?
What was he wearing? He was wearing his usual.
Was it buttoned all the way up, or did he draw a button just for Kendall?
It was open actually in the middle. Yeah.
Kendall's in the crowd, and they're in LA, dog.
So I heard Devin Booker and Chris Paul both.
Okay.
Devin Booker actually sounded like his normal self. He was back to his stoic, not making any demonstrative comments or anything like that. He's just like, hey, we just got to come back and get better. We played bad today. We got to come, you know, all that stuff. So he was like a zero in what he gave. Chris Paul was, on the other hand, in a really crappy mood.
As well, he should be.
And guess how he closed out his press conference? First of all, Dwayne Rankin asked him, so did you re-injure the shoulder on that fall? You know, it looked like you were holding, you know, your arm really close. I got kneed in the nuts.
He got the Crowder special. I got
kneed in the nuts. Yeah.
I did see him grabbing those. So.
Yeah. So, no. And then toward the end, as people are asking, so I, all this, all that, he's like 11 in a row. If I was a betting man, 11 in a row.
Fuck, dude.
What do you think 11 in a row is?
Number.
That gets into the NBA finals.
Oh, man.
Nope.
No, he's bringing
11
back
straight losses in the playoffs with Scott Foster as a
referee. He said that?
He repeated it like 4 times. 11 in a row.
I like it.
Good. Okay. He should be pissed off.
Get it, Chris.
Even the commentators were saying how physical the Lakers were getting and there was no calls.
I you know, honestly, I'm a little upset that Booker didn't show some frustration.
He did in the wrong ways.
Yeah, well, sure. He did on the court, but in the post game, come out and be like, look, I played terribly. This wasn't a good game. This isn't going to happen again. Something.
He doesn't ever give that stuff. He never has, and he's had a really good season. So he just wants to
Call of Duty, man.
Show it on the floor.
They asked him why. You know what happened there at the end when you got yourself ejected? He's like, "We were losing." That was all he said. We were losing.
He got ejected. I turned the game off.
You do. Yeah,
but he didn't get ejected like 70 times two seasons ago. Like he should be used to understanding what it feels like to lose. It shouldn't make you fly off the handle.
He's gotten himself ejected at the end of really. The thing is, they got him tonight, the Lakers, and they've gotten him three games in a row. Physically, they got him. KCP, you know what? I do not wish injury on anybody, but KCP did not look like he just had a quad contusion. That game, he looked like he couldn't keep his knee straight when he was walking off. Schroeder, so we'll see about that. Yeah, Schroeder can probably get over that, but man, KCP has been a dog in right up on Devin Booker all series long, and I think it finally got into Booker's head, and Booker finally got frustrated, and they started missing his shots, and then he fouled out before he got ejected.
Yeah, Schroeder, I mean, Schroeder also looked like he was Ricky and freaking Boys in the Hood running down the freaking alley when he got pushed by freaking Crowder, getting blasted and rolling all over the floor like he was just dying. Like, dude, calm down. You're not on fire. We don't have a blanket.
I love how guys get all tough when they've got LeBron James and Anthony Davis scoring all the points for them.
Oh, I know.
That's the worst thing to watch is that bench celebrating while he's posting up Jay Crowder.
Baddest dude in the club if I have those two behind me. Let's go.
You know what? Andre Drummond had to practice his post-up moves because he's terrible at them.
He's pretty bad.
Right. By the way, never liked him. I hate to say this, but Jared Dudley is dead to me after seeing him being the hype man on the bench there for LeBron and AD. JD.
I'll tell you this. Last 10 years for this franchise, their Espo.
I tell you, he might be dead to me, but it's still the best sandwich at Marley's is the Dudley.
This is true.
It comes on ciabatta. Very it's true. A chicken with sprout. It's delicious. So
get it on a wrap.
Real quick, if you're watching the podcast, give us a thumbs up. Smash the thumbs up button. In the YouTube chat, if you're watching on
that, people,
give us a good thumbing right in the nuts if you can.
Let us manscape before you do it, though.
Well, right. I mean, speaking of manscape, I think it's about time where we at least dish this out.
Jam star of the game.
As a reminder, if you're watching along live in the chat, let us know who your jam star of the game is. I think we can kind of unanimously say the smooth baller of the night is DeAndre Ayton. Is there anybody here who objects?
I object.
No.
I object.
All right, what do you got, Matthew?
Jay Crowder. He's the only reason I got up to my TV and was excited to watch the game.
You can't say your Invisalign is the MVP
thank,
of the game there.
Thank you.
Yeah, you deserve to get
Jay Crowder. If you don't, look, DeAndre Ayton was the smooth baller of the game. By far, the jam star of the game. Look, if you don't want your boys to look like the Suns played tonight, Foster. Manscaped. Use the code FLAMINGBALLER, save 20%. Get free
I only
shipping.
Have three boys.
I have to get that in. It's required every
it's
show.
It's required. So. And we're gonna be doing Manscaped stuff soon, so it'll be like, use the code JAM or something.
We made it, John. We got Manscaped.
Yeah, we got Manscaped on the Sun
Manscaped
jam
Mondays.
Session.
We're just all going to bring razors.
Tutorial videos.
So as we look towards... look towards game four. Game four, 12:30 p.m. Arizona time. We play against the Los Angeles Lakers for the fourth freaking time. This series. But you know, it's going to be fun. We're going to have a good time. I have a lot of faith in this team. I one thing that Monty has done well is adjust. He didn't do it today at all in any way, shape, or form, especially going into the second half. But knowing, you know, throughout the season, Dave, you know, in fact, Dave, you know how you were talking on Bright Side of the Sun about how the Suns are relative to consecutive losses and things of that nature, correct?
Yeah, they've only...
Hold on.
Dave, stat me.
Had to get that in.
I got to look it up.
Status up.
Status up. All right. Well, I did put this on Brightside. The Suns are pretty freaking good after a loss, period. And they've only lost two games in a row, like four times this year.
Correct.
And they've only lost three games in a row once this year. Very early in the season, back in when they were 8-8. So if you feel like they're back to that level of team, then, you know, all those numbers go out the window. If you feel like they're only Chris Paul away from getting back to, and if Chris Paul doesn't play well on Sunday, you can throw that out. But the team, and they're also league best on the road, league best after a loss, league best on the road in the clutch. I mean, they've got all these things right now for them. I really was worried actually going into the this game. I will tell you that I thought there was a better than average chance that the Suns were going to get blown out in this game because of the magnitude of the moment. This I tweeted this morning that this is the toughest game of their careers. Almost every one of these guys. What is incredibly disappointing is that the two of the worst players on the court, this is not the toughest game of their career. Jay Crowder's been in the playoffs 8 straight years. Chris Paul, unfortunately, physically, he couldn't do it tonight, but he's been in the playoffs 12. This is 13. Yeah,
this is the first time he's had to do it one-armed, so that makes
it well, he's done it one-legged before. He's poor guy. He's had lots of issues.
Yeah. I don't know if there's a player in history
Jay Crowder
that's ever had
should not have been this bad.
No. No, he should not.
That's my rough baller of the night.
Rough baller?
My hairy
he's got
baller
that razor burn
of the night.
Well, it depends if you like hair or not.
Big push baller of the night.
Big push baller. Yes.
Oh, new Jay Crowder.
Oh. Yeah.
Fro ball.
I'll tell you what. Who else? Now, we got
I don't think you could call it fro. I think it's stubble, right? It's stubble because it's uncomfortable ball to watch.
Yeah, like pokes. Right? Yeah. The leg in the 80s. Is, get it.
In the 80s, blonde, it was the bushiest.
No, but so bushy that you can't even see the balls, baller. That's how
oh, the blonde is behind Espo. She
can you cover it that blonde's ears behind you, Espo?
Yeah, I don't think this is appropriate.
This is terrible.
Oh, man. Okay, but we also got to say, who's the mini smooth baller of the
campaign
not making
again,
any
man
comments? Campaign kicks him in the second half, but the reason I can't give him the full game smooth baller is because the first half he looked overmatched as well. He had a really rough stretch in the first half, but in the second half then he became the campaign we really like. I'd like him to actually do that when they're not down 15. Can you do that when you're not down 15, please, Cam? That's what I want to see before you
it's
become
funny
a smooth baller of the night.
I was watching the game with my wife, and she kept saying two things. She kept referencing Silence of the Lambs. She's like, put the ball in the basket over and over.
Put the ball in the basket.
Yeah, and she's like, dude, maybe they just forgot to do that tonight, honey. And I'm like, you know what? I think you're right. You know, they just weren't scoring at all. It was so frustrating. And then, yes, they make the run at the end of the game. So when you look at the final score, and it still is, what, a 14-point whooping, mm-hmm. It could have been worse.
Yeah.
We're back. You know, we're back to that. It could have been worse.
It could have been worse. Hey man, we've been podcasting a long freaking time.
I believe that was their marketing slogan 3 years ago.
Yeah, that was the hashtag in 17, right? Hashtag could have been worse.
Yeah.
Listen, well, let's talk. Game 4. I don't know about you guys, but I feel like game 4 is going to make or break this series for the Suns. I know teams have come back from 3-1. 3-1. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm not breaking any news.
They called it.
Could have been worse.
It could have been worse, right?
They call Saul.
But what I'm going to say is this. I do believe that they're going to come back. And the way they come back, win or lose, I think will dictate how they play and possibly come back. Even if they lose game 4, if they're competitive and let's say they lose at the buzzer or they lose by 1 or 2, I think they come back. They get a little bit of momentum. Just like Cleveland did against the Warriors back in, you know, in I think 17 or 16 with LeBron, they were down 3-1. They won at home. They just knew they won on the road, and then they had to come back home. They knew they needed to get that next one. And if they did that, they were going to be okay in game 7. And I feel like the Suns, every good team bounces back. And I know the Suns have done that all season long. This is the playoffs, a little bit different, but a good team will bounce back. I expect Devin Booker to have his best game of this series in game 4. I'm thinking 40 plus because he's gonna have that eye. He just
all right,
has
let me,
to.
Awesome. Awesome call, Saul. But I'll tell you what. How's he get it? Yeah, well, he can get it the way he got it in game one, man. He was going really well. But I'll tell you what I think has got to happen is either Jay or Mikel gets 18 plus points. If Jay or Mikel get 18 plus points in game four, the Suns have a huge chance to beat these guys. Because, you know, everyone's talking about the size. Yes, the Lakers have huge size. But I'll tell you what, if the Suns are making their threes, they give up the layups without the and ones, and they're still up in the freaking game. You make more shots, and then you win the game. That's the way it is. If you don't give up all the free throws to make up the difference. So you can be the old D'Antoni style, which was never foul a layup. D'Antoni, the Suns were the lowest fouling team in the league back in the SSOL days because D'Antoni was like, we'll just get it back on the other end. Give us 3 seconds. So that's what they've got to do is they come back, force the Lakers to spread out, go small. We don't need Frank. You don't need Dario, except for the few minutes that DA has to sit. Because, God, you got to play DA another 43 minutes again, I think, on Sunday. Mm-hmm. You play DA 43 minutes. You get Frank and Dario splitting the other five. And then you just got Torrey Craig and Jay and Mikel and Cam Johnson just fanning out and pulling everybody out of the paint. And then you dive in for offensive rebounds when you need them. You don't just force DA to be the only guy trying to rebound among the trees. That's how you win on Sunday, by making your freaking shots. You got the number 7 offense in the league for the year, but the number 1 offense in the league from January 28th forward. These guys just got to make the shots again. That's it. That'll get them game. And you know what? Then it's tied 2-2 again. And then the Suns have home court advantage again, games 5 and 7 at home. The entire thing shifts if you get Sunday's game.
Look, I'm going to channel my inner Paul Westfall. They're going to go win Sunday. They're going to win
game 4. I tried this the other day. Don't get Tuesday, to 5.
Tuesday, they're going to win game 5. They're going to come back Sunday in Phoenix for game 7, and they're going to win there. And everybody's going to say what a great series it's been, and it has been. We just haven't liked it too much so far.
You got closer than I did, Espo.
I got it exactly right.
They play next Saturday, not Sunday.
Oh, so
they come back Sunday. If they come back Sunday, the series will be over.
It's Saturday they'll come back. Look, they're going to win. They're going to win. I've said 7. I have faith that this team finds a way to bounce back, that Monty figures out how to change his rotations. I think you're right. You're going to have to go smaller, and you're going to have to try to basically use the Lakers' size against them. And use that. If you start hitting those threes, it's going to open up things inside too. I'm saying Suns in 7 still. This team has been too good all year long for them to go out like they played tonight. And I think tonight was a wake-up call. They took the punch, and now it's time to wake up and react to it, respond to it. I think they'll do that on Sunday. I think they're going to take care of business at home.
What do you think, Matthew?
John, you're probably going to want to cut me out from this one because I'm going to say the Suns lose the next 2 games. What's going to be fun
but
next
win
game?
The championship.
Why is he
next
still
year?
On this pod?
I know. But this, I'm a Suns. This no, is what's going to happen.
Go ahead.
First, we're going to have an injury.
Be realist. Go ahead.
We're going to come out in the first quarter. There's going to be some injury to DA or Booker. And then we're going to lose the next 2
get
games.
Get him out of here. Get him out of here.
You said to let him speak.
Wow.
You asshole.
Fucking Android users.
I know.
For real. That's why Android.
Next thing you're going to use the C word.
Oh, my gosh.
Is that what you honestly think, though? You think – break it down, Matthew.
No, I do. I honestly think we learned a lesson here this series. I think it's on to the next season. I'm sorry. I think this series is over.
But you got to predict people getting hurt.
Yeah, I know.
Like, come geez. On. Now that's overboard. Come on.
Why are you went
I'm
too
sorry.
Far?
Come on.
I'm sorry. Don't, I really predict. Am. That's your God told me to say
look, Matthew's
it.
Matthew's message to say is that next tomorrow. Year is the year.
Is this some reverse
next year?
Matthew's trying to. Matthew's clearly playing the reverse jinx on it. You know, as I look at game, but Matthew just take that. Be Matthew just takes himself out.
I just want to get kicked out.
he's Devin Bookering
like,
it.
He's like four picks on Sunday.
Kicked out in the final minute. He likes to get punished.
Listen. Game 4.
He likes to be punished.
Flog me, Dave.
I honestly
read my journal, my diary.
I honestly believe that the Suns are going to come out in game 4 And because now you have the Lakers believe they have a mental edge. They think that they've pushed the Suns to a point of breaking. You can see it with LeBron dancing like an idiot, Montrezl Harrell getting technicals for dancing on the sidelines. You know, they think they have that mental edge now that the Suns felt like they had after game one, after they won that first game. And everybody's like, oh shit, you know, every podcast and, you know, every national pundit who sat there and said the Lakers were going to win, were like, well, I think we have to worry about the Suns here. And all of a sudden they started caring about the Phoenix Suns and putting that into their ear, and they lost their edge. Now the edge is going to be coming from the Phoenix Suns size. It's going back to the kind of like no one believes us in us mentality that the Suns have kind of had all year long. Nobody thought they were going to be the number two seed. Monty was saying it, you know, prior to the series starting. So I think they're going to come out with that edge. I think they're going to go out, win that game. And I agree. I think this is going to go all seven. I really do. It's going to be an intense physical series. You know, I think that, you know, Dave is spot on. The way that you defeat this team is shoot your threes. Oh, my gosh. What just happened with Saul?
Strike drop.
Damn.
Sniper.
My bad, guys. Sniper.
In that kind of night.
My bad.
Wow.
But it's like say, when they hit, they bounce back. Okay, so it's time to bounce back against this team.
Yeah.
And if you're interested, ladies and gentlemen, you want to join all of us, including Matthew, who will be rooting. He's got the over-under for injuries in the first quarter of game four.
Matthew, just leave it at that. Matthew, if somebody gets hurt in the first quarter,
just leave.
You better just leave.
I'm going to expect all the trash to be thrown at me.
Just you're Steve Bartman.
Predict that.
Oh, my gosh.
Here's my biggest worry about Sunday, though. My biggest worry about Sunday is LA nightlife is undefeated, and they have 2 days off. Yeah.
Well, get that shit done tonight.
By the Fabio Listen. And Coda Kid in the chat are with Dave, Sons and Eight. So we're still good.
Sons and Eight. But we will be coming to you live from the Four Peaks location located in Tempe, Arizona, right there on 8th Street. Many of you, I know that
Four Peaks.
How many U of A guys are in here? Raise your hand if you're a U of A guy. Oh, yeah. Jeez. And Dave, you have a daughter who went to U of A?
I have actually three. Yeah.
Okay. So there's a lot of Wildcats in here. You know, Four Peaks is more of an ASU place. So just don't wear that Wildcat shit around there. Okay. Wear your stuff.
I support ASU just to give crap to my kids.
You know what the funny thing is? There's actually five peaks, but the ASU people couldn't count them correctly and they named it Four Peaks.
Actually, the Forkum has three peaks. You could have gone with that one.
I could have. But
what do you say to a U of A guy when he's on your front porch? You thank him and pay for the pizza. So we'll be coming to you live from the Four Peaks location. So we'll be watching the game down there. Come down. We'll have some merch to give away to some of the Jamsters and the Flaming Ballers. Then afterwards, we'll see if there's going to be any hot blondes you want to hang out in the background behind Espo once again. So
hot blondes. So
I also have a couple.
All of
shirts.
You ballers in the chat, whoever's the hot blonde, come on down to Four Peaks and stand behind us.
I also have a couple playoff shirts from the other night's game. That we'll give away as well.
Fantastic. By the way, I hope that I get one of those.
By the way, the blonde's going to have to travel pretty far because I'm going to be coming to you live from Houston, Texas.
Stand behind me, and then I'll
Matthew, too.
Well, what if they think they're hot, and then they show up, and you're like, nah, you're not going to do. And then they're like, okay.
what if he's the one who gets injured in the first quarter?
Now this is turning into like a wet t-shirt contest, so I don't know.
The heck is going on right now?
Jeez, I'm
going
to walk out before I get in trouble.
You need a girlfriend.
So.
You need help.
I'm so lonely here, Saul. four beers in by myself.
The Invisalign's the closest thing he has to a partner. It's pretty sad.
I tuck them in right next to me at night, even though I'm supposed to wear them.
Oh, man.
On that note, ladies and gentlemen, I think it's time to wrap everything up. So if you are watching along live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter, again, we appreciate it. If you're listening on the Bright Side of the Sun Podcast Network, we appreciate that as well. If you are watching on YouTube, make sure you hit a thumbs up. You can become an elite Jamster or a Flaming Baller by clicking the join button and following the link in the description. Looks like the Sun Solar Panel win, Jamsters. Looks like the Flaming Ballers outbid us.
Congrats.
More money went to those guys. We're going to need it because blow-up dolls are expensive.
Oh my god!
You can follow me at Darth Voida on Twitter.
That'll be
you can follow
the hot Matthew. Blonde behind Matthew on Saturday at 4 p.m.
At Matthew Lissy. DM me.
Espo, you can do your little thing.
You can you can follow me at
right
the
DMs.
You can follow me at the divorce line because if my wife listens to this, I'm in big trouble. You can follow Dave King at Dave King NBA. The NBA is there because that's what the Suns try to pretend they're playing, but they didn't quite get there tonight.
Oh.
So you follow at Saul Bookman. Saul Bookman at Saul underscore Bookman. The underscore is there. So the blonde has space to get in between the Saul and the Bookman.
Hey!
Oh, hey now!
Oh, boy!
You can follow the show at Suns Solar Panel. You know, I don't even know what that this show basically is exactly what we all needed after whatever that game was.
True.
So thank you for ending it in the most bizarre way I think we've ever ended a podcast.
There's no eye contact in the Devil's three-way. Two dudes. Oh,
God. Wow. The Sun Devil's three-way. It's two people. Oh, they can't count. So.
Matthew, just say it.
Go home and love your family.
Let me hear it. Come on, let me hear you say.